Want to talk a little hockey? Why are we asking? Of course you do. This is Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
O'clock on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and The Fan Radio Network. We welcome you to Hockey Nation, your Saturday afternoon radio hockey staple with Gord Stellick. Mark Osborne, take a look at all the games around the National Hockey League and start counting down to the battle tonight between the Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa Senators. Don't know what the battle part is for the Maple Leafs as far as playoffs go. I guess Ozzie trying to beat spoilers. Certainly a big game for the Ottawa Senators, and I know in goaltending, you were talking to Dave Cameron, the head coach, and looks like the Hamburglar under the weather a little bit of an ailment, so he won't start, but certainly a huge game for the Ottawa Senators.
Well, no question about that, Gordon, and certainly with the way that the Eastern Conference race is certainly heating up, it is coming down to the wild card position for the aforementioned Ottawa Senators, and again, I know you want to get to the afternoon scores, which involve Or let's put it this way. The Sens were probably watching this afternoon.
I would say so.
Maybe having a pregame nap. But the Boston Bruins got the kind of start I think that they've needed for quite some time. And in the first period, they went up 3-0. And it's the big man. I think he awoken from his slumber. That's Milan Lucic with his 16th and 17th. Carl Soderberg had his 12th. So they were up 3-0. They went up 4-0. Riley Smith, his 13th of the season in the second period before Ricky Nash cut the lead to 4-1 with his 40th. What a great season, Rick Nash. I'll see him tomorrow, by the way. I'll say hi.
Say hi, please do, yeah, when you're down in New York.
And then the only goal in the third period was only, 23 seconds to go in the game at Hunwick. So it was a 4-2 final. Both goaltenders here. Interesting. We'll have to figure out why that is. Maybe you can educate me as to why Tuukka Rask.
Well,
and
that's
Svedberg
disconcerting. Tuukka Rask left mysterious reasons. Bob Asenza appeared as the goaltending coach.
No,
appeared dressed on the bench that way. So we'll get back again as you say. A 4-2 win for the Boston Bruins over the New York Rangers. Surprised it took Ozzie all of 20 seconds to boast about how he'll be in New York tomorrow as part of the alumni there. So say hi to everybody. But before we get back to more of the out-of-town scores, Eddie Olchuk will join us a little bit later on this hour, but certainly, as you say, scoreboard watching and hoping and fighting, clawing, a playoff battle in the Western Conference. Tough loss last night to the Minnesota Wild. They get set to battle the Nashville Predators tomorrow. That, of course, being the Calgary Flames, and their general manager, Brad Treliving, joins us. How you doing, Brad?
We're doing okay. How are you guys doing today?
Good. And for Toronto fans, they'd like to be, as much as it adds the pressure in that, involved in a playoff race. And certainly, you know, I wonder as well for you in Calgary that early in the year, you're the underdog. So it's all fun. You come back, beat the Boston Bruins, the third period, continue to beat everybody. And then now a different kind of pressure because it's there. You can taste it, but it's just a daily dogfight.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you get down to the short strokes here, it's, you know, it's tight. And but I think that's all part of the process. Is, you know, as we talk to our guys, this is the fun time of the year. We can talk about pressure and all those types of things, but it's, you know, these are, if you want to get to where you want to get to, you know, these are the type of games that you want to be involved in. And you know, we put ourselves in a position through the year to make these games meaningful at this time of the year. So sure, it's tense and all the rest of it, but you wouldn't want it any other way, and you want to be involved in the races and try to find a way to get in.
Brad, often on the show when we've talked about your team, the aforementioned guys like Gaudreau and you know, the injury to Giordano, Sean Monahan having a great year number two there. You guys in the offseason went out and acquired Jonas Hiller, and I think he's obviously done a very, very good job for you. But as of late, it's been Akari Ramo who's been getting the nod by Coach Bob Hartley. Just a little bit of your thoughts and comments in that position on your team. Did you see that both of these guys would be instrumental in the kind of season that you've had thus far?
Yeah, Mark, when we signed Jonas, I mean, one of the first things, you know, obviously we thought Jonas could come in and help us, but in conjunction with Kari, you know, the bringing Jonas here was not an indictment in any way to Kari. We just felt, you know, to give ourselves a foundation, it has to start in net. And between the two of them, We felt they gave us a chance. It's sort of been that way throughout the year. Each guy has sort of taken turns of running with it a little bit. We saw Jonas earlier in the year. Kari had a real good stretch. We had actually our goaltender in the American League, Yoni Ortio, came up and gave us some games before he got injured down in the American Hockey League. So we've needed, it's sort of the mantra of our team. We need everybody. And that means all 23 guys, including both goaltenders. Kari was terrific last night. Really kept us in it through two periods and gave us a chance going into the third period. So his play hasn't surprised. We knew he's a good goaltender. He's capable of winning games in this league. And, going down the stretch, we're hopeful that one guy can grab a hold of it or both guys can continue to stay hot and give us goaltending that allows us a chance to get some points.
Yeah, Brad, last night's game had the 1-0 lead, and then Sean Monahan has the breakaway shorthanded, and Ryan Suter, just that old savviness, just lifts the stick at the right time. They come back, score on the power play, and a change of momentum there, and certainly was impressed that you did fight back. I was impressed that Schlemko actually tried to block the puck at the end of the game with the empty net. I think it just shows the resolve of the team. But to get back to Monahan, because that's what the Leafs are hoping for, that kind of player next year. He wasn't a top three pick. I think he went sixth overall. And, maybe talk about a decision made that he is ready for the National Hockey League and then is able to take it to this level and really thrive in the National Hockey League.
Sure. Well, obviously, I wasn't here when they selected him, but it was a tremendous pick. I was in Phoenix at the time, and we love Sean, but the Flames made a tremendous pick there at six. And it's an interesting case, Gord, because we went through a similar situation to a certain extent with Sam Bennett this year, where I think it's really difficult, and you've got to be very, very careful when you're talking about 18-year-olds coming into the league. I think it can be a real dangerous exercise in trying to rush people too quickly. Sean's situation a little bit different in the sense that although he was a young player, he's a late birth date, so he's a little bit older. At the time of his rookie season, to a certain extent, if you will. I think there's just a maturity to him, even not being here last year, but just seeing it this year at the ripe old age of 20. I mean, he's a mature person, and he's got a really mature game. He does a lot of things, obviously, approaching 30 goals now, and the offensive production is one thing, but as you guys know, to build trust with coaches and to get into, to be able to have coaches trust you, you have to do things away from the puck and do some things in your own end that's going to allow you to stick around in the league and then allow you to play initially. And Sean does that. Like I said, it's a mature game, smart on both sides of the puck, has really developed here in recent weeks and months, real chemistry with Yuri Hudler and Johnny Gaudreau. So, it's everybody talks about it. In order to have a chance to have some success, you need to be strong down the middle. And I think obviously with Sean there, he's going to be an important player for this team for many years to come.
Brad, you mentioned Sam Bennett, who was injured, had surgery during this particular season, went back and is playing with Kingston in the playoffs here with the Frontenacs. And he was player of the week a number of weeks ago, but just kind of out of curiosity, and maybe I'll make some comparisons to a guy like Johnny Gaudreau just because of their stature and size, the way that they play the game. I think there might be a little bit of similarities happening there for Sam Bennett. But as you look forward to next season in a kid like that, what are some of the things, I guess, that as a general manager in some of these young players you just commented on a guy like Sean Monahan, but what would be the comparables with Gaudreau and Sam Bennett that you would at least give him an opportunity come next season?
Well, I think Sam's going to have a real good opportunity with our team next year. Ultimately, the player is going to decide if they're ready to play through training camp and preseason and those types of things. Sam's situation this year was a little bit unique in the sense that he had a really good camp. I mean, he tweaked the groin in the rookie camp in a rookie tournament in Penticton, missed the first few days of camp, came back in, and his first preseason game against, I think it was Vancouver, might have been the best player on the ice. It was tremendous. And then, you know, unfortunately sustained a shoulder injury, which required surgery, and he was rehabbing for, you know, most of the year. Went back to Kingston and was, you know, really took off. 24 points in 11 games, and as you said, are playing in the playoffs now against North Bay. So I think every young player is a little bit different. There's some uniqueness to all of them. Obviously, the things that you look at is, you know, are they physically able to survive, you know, first of all, thrive, but survive in the league. And that's where, you know, you look at Sam. Sam's, you know, when you compare him to Johnny, you know, Sam's not, obviously we're talking about a smaller player than Johnny Gaudreau. And I was, you know, the question for me, there was no, you know, there was no debate about his intelligence, his skill level in terms of Johnny's. It's just whether that was going to, his game was going to translate at an early age based upon his size. I don't necessarily have any size concerns with Sam Bennett. You know, he's 6'1". He'll continue to get stronger. He'll, you know, this will be another important summer is for all those young players to continue to get stronger. It's just, for me, going into camp is, are you ready to, you know, are you ready to play and play in a meaningful role? I think to have young players on your team at that age, you just have to be very careful. They're able to play in situations. You don't necessarily, it doesn't make any sense to keep those players around at that age if they're playing 7-8 minutes. They've got to go somewhere where they can go and thrive and develop and be used in meaningful situations. And when you look at the young players in our team, you know, most notably, you know, Sean or Johnny, they've been, you know, not only getting meaningful minutes, but very, very critical, important players in our team. So, you know, the key for us is not to rush them. It's everybody gets excited to get these players here. Sam's got a playoff, you know, playoff series is involved in. We'll have an important summer, and we'll see where everybody is at come training camp.
Brad Treliving is the general manager of the Calgary Flames, joining Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And, you know, the case of Mark Giordano, you look at, for example, when you're in Phoenix, a guy like Oliver Ekman-Larsson comes in, a high draft pick, and right away establishes a certain level of play. In Giordano's case, it's really unusual, particularly playing D, to be under the radar, be kind of a journeyman, and then explode like he has. I mean, when you look at his game and how it's evolved that way, what have you seen most the last 2-3 years?
That's a good question, Gord. Like, I was always a Mark Giordano fan coming in here long before I came in here. I think you've seen over the year, you know, anybody that's followed the team has seen his game, you know, continue to improve. I think it took a huge step last year. And I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, you see him now becoming the captain of the team and not only the role increasing on the ice, but I think the role that increased off the ice. He became the unquestioned leader of this team. You look at this guy prepares. We talk all the time, about, you know, leadership, how important it is, especially with a young team, to show, you know, you hear the saying, learn to be a pro. There's no greater example, in my opinion, than Mark. How he trains, how he looks after himself, the preparation that goes into it. You know, the success he's had has not come by accident. It's come from hard work, and, you know, a guy who even now continues to, you know, work at his game daily. He had surgery a few weeks ago, and it was, you know, the day after, 2 days after, he's back in the gym and riding the bike and doing things to get himself back and starting his rehab aggressively. So I think his game has continued to evolve. I think, you know, prior to his injury, I know I've got some bias here, but I think to me he was a leading contender for the Norris Trophy, and is such a big part of our team, both on the ice and in the minutes that he plays, but the leadership role and the unquestioned leader of our team. So we've had to have people step in and pick up those minutes and pick up that role, but you know, Mark is obviously a big part of this franchise.
Brad, I think that Gord's going to say, Oz, this is a real stupid question, a dumb question, because he likes to make those kind of comments.
Well, we want Brad back on the show, too, later on. We don't want him shaking his head when he hangs up the phone.
Because, you know, one thing for me, it's been a learning curve this year. I'm used to answering questions. Now I'm learning how to ask questions. But
I hear you.
Just out of curiosity, with, you know, you being hired last summer by Brian Burke, you know, how that transition has been, I guess, for you, going from working with Donnie Maloney and now being the sole general manager there, and yet, you know, certainly Brian has thoughts and opinions, but just out of curiosity, how your management team or your executive team, I think you're one big happy family, right?
Well, absolutely. It's been it's been really good. It's been, I mean, everybody knows Brian, and the big part of, you know, really the, to me, the reason I'm in Calgary is because of Brian. And I think it's, you know, I think you're going to see this, and we've seen it throughout the league a little bit now over the course of the last few years, but I think you're going to continue to see this management structure evolve. For me, you know, I had a great experience in Phoenix. It was wonderful. And working with Donnie, as you mentioned, who not only I think is one of the best managers in the league, but become one of my closest friends, you know, taking that step to become a manager yourself and having somebody like Brian who's sort of been there, done that, and he's had all the experiences you can have. I think those, you know, having that partnership is critical. And it's a voice to, you know, another person to bounce opinions off of and, you know, things that you're thinking of doing or looking at. Brian's, you know, he's already done that. So he's got so much experience that he brings. And he's been a, he's been not only a great resource, but just a great confidant. And so I think it's a great structure. I think it's even better for someone like me in their first job, and a young manager, and in Canada, quite frankly, where, you know, there's a lot of attention to the team and there's a lot of pressure that goes along with it, having somebody that's gone through a lot of those battles that you can, you know, you can converse with and share ideas, I think has been a great situation.
Well, I know you get set, take a big game. They're all big now against the Nashville Predators. And again, congratulations on your success. So I'm wondering, Brad, would you say you've had more success your first year with Calgary compared to your dad's deals on Dragon's Den? I mean, how would you equate that?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't caught too many of those deals here lately. So we're in a battle. We know we're in a battle, but we're going to keep swinging here and see where, you know, focus on tomorrow night's game and go from there.
Sounds good. Thanks very much, Brad. All the best.
Thanks, guys.
Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames.
Did you want me to go pick up your Boston pizza order? Because I know usually you have me do things like that.
No, what are you talking
yourself.
About? What are you talking about? I'm just talking about the deals on Drag. You never find out later on where they cut things, right? Kevin and Darlene and or Arlene, whatever her name
Arlene,
is.
Arlene, yes.
They all cut deals that way. So, yeah, no, I'm fine. I didn't plug the button.
My wife loves that show, by the way. And Shark Tank as well. Like
it's a different, interesting stuff. But I never get the follow-ups where they come back and you find out how the deals worked out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the scout that recommends somebody and then you can't find, does the player a boom or a bust?
Well, you know what? Your domestic side of you, maybe get out to the stores once in a while and look at some of those products and maybe become a little bit more domesticated yourself, you know?
I'd rather order in. Just works out better. So anyway, appreciate Brad joining us. We'll have Eddie Olchuk in a few minutes time. Later on, Cliff Fletcher will be joining us, one of the, what's his job? Senior advisor with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He will join us a little bit later on. Let's get back to, because the out-of-town scores, mentioned earlier, so many games this afternoon, a lot of it because March Madness tonight. Mm-hmm. So, of course, some of these American markets don't want to take on the NCAA Sweet 16, or I guess they're down to the Elite Eight right now. We mentioned earlier about Boston beating the New York Rangers 4-2. Tuukka Rask leaving the game under mysterious circumstances, didn't finish the game. Since we chatted earlier with Brad, we chatted about Brad. Nashville, Washington, they play the Nashville Predators tomorrow. The Calgary Flames do. A 4-3 win for Nashville over Washington. Three straight goals in the first period for the Predators. Matthias Ekholm is 7th. Mike Fisher is 18th. Philip Forsberg is 23rd. Later on, Mike Ribeiro scored his 15th for Washington. Troy Brower scored twice. He's got 20 now, and Mike Green got his 7th.
How about Fish, though, having a great season after, you know, he ruptured his Achilles in the off season? 54 games, 17 goals, well, now 18. So I'm just giving a little plug for Fish.
Well, no problem. Yeah, Fish and Booth, the two guys, David Booth and Mike Fisher, never have a bad game in Ozworld.
That's not true. That's not true at all. Why are you making those two comparisons? I'm a little bit befuddled by that. But let's go over to the island where the Ducks, if you remember their start of their Eastern trip, they lost their first two, and now I believe this is their third win. Going into Long Island, Richard Rakal in the first period, his 8th of the season, before Vishnovsky made it 1-1, his 5th for the Islanders. Kyle Palmieri, his 14th in the second, and then Cogliano, his 14th as well, gave them a 3-1 lead. Cizikas cut it to 3-2, his 8th of the season in the third period. But the Ducks hang on with Frederick Anderson as your winning goaltender.
San Jose Sharks, 3-2 winners over the Philadelphia Flyers in a shootout. Matt Irwin is 8th. Joe Pavelski is 36th. And then for Philadelphia, Michael Raffel is 20th. Claude Giroux is 23rd. Too little too late for the Sharks, huh? 82 points, that bumps them up to, but 88 is what the Los Angeles Kings have. So it seems like they, barring a miracle, they can win all they want. It's just not enough ground left.
Well, it feels good for me to agree with you for a change. So I'm right with you.
Well, it's good.
You.
It's kind of like a first round of a boxing fight. We get that round out of the way.
Actually, let's go to Detroit where, again, the Red Wings kind of, I don't know, they've been so-so the last number of weeks, but a big win this afternoon at the Joe sold out as Tampa Bay went to visit. No scoring in the first period, but then the Red Wings in the second period. Joachim Andersen, his second of the season. Abdelkader, what a season he's had. 23. Nyquist has 24. And then Glenn Denning, his 11th in the third period. It was Peter Mrazek with the shutout. So the Wings, a much-needed win to stop some of the bleeding as of late.
How'd you pronounce the first goal scorer's name?
Joachim.
Oh, Anderson. Okay, yeah. Very nice, very nice. I don't know if I can quite add the dialect with the last one. Pittsburgh Penguins, they're just happy for a win. They've been playing brutal hockey the last couple
of really?
Weeks.
Oh, really? It's been that bad?
Yeah, okay. It was bad. Now it's brutal. But they get a 3-2 win over the – don't look it up and come back at me and go there 5-5-0 or something. Like, they've been playing brutal hockey, okay? Lost to Carolina the other night. Don't give me that crap. 3-2, they defeat the Arizona Coyotes. Daniel Winnick, former Leaf, gets his nice. Steve Downey, who you're also big on as far as you talk about great value – for his $1 million salary.
I am.
14th, I agree with this.
He's had a few bad games, though. But
Sidney Crosby, like his 25th, as we get the quest. Can we get an 80-point player this year? He gets the game winner for Arizona. Time again is second, and Tobias Reeder, his 13th.
And you know what, Gordon, with all those afternoon games, what do we got? 2, 4, 6, 7 more games later on this evening. I don't know if any of those games actually intrigue you at all besides, Florida goes into Montreal, and we just read early this morning that Bukestad is out for the season. So a big blow to the Panthers' chances. And so that's probably the biggest one on the docket tonight that you might be interested with. I don't know. Do you pay attention to the Western Conference at all?
No, just the East. Last night I was there at Sportsnet covering the Calgary Minnesota game.
That's why I thought, wow, you're asking Brad these real specific questions.
But, last week as we watched, I got to give the LA Kings credit. We watched Vancouver defeat the LA Kings, and I thought that was all she wrote for them. They've come back and won the first three games on the road trip. So it shows.
That was all she wrote.
Heading on the road trip, and give the Kings credit, three straight victories, it shows a lot why they're two-time Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, right? Isn't that the winning formula? They know what it takes at this time of year. The sun is out. It's still cold. It's playoff weather, something we're not really sure what's going on here.
I mean, the sun is that. What do you sound like my grandfather or grandmother reading stories to me?
But I told you this last week that at this time of year, the sun gets up early. It goes down late.
Yep.
It's the birds are singing. The robins are back. But it's still cold outside.
A little colder than we want right now. It's two weeks before
the season ends. And I know what it's like to feel going into those games at night where, man, you can't wait for playoffs.
Absolutely.
Ain't happening.
And Florida-Montreal would be one of those tonight. So certainly is one that intrigues me. What also intrigues me is always our weekly visit with Eddie Olchuk. That'll be up next when we return. You're listening to Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and The Fan Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Hockey Nation. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, The Fan Radio Network, taking a look at all the NHL action going around the league this afternoon. A lot of games we talked about earlier. The action tonight, we mentioned Florida, Montreal, and of course, honing in on the Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Ottawa Senators.
You know what? And during the break, I was trying to fill in some of the updated standings, because I'm old school with the pencil and
I like that. I do that as too. What's new school? What else could we do in here? We don't have a board
up
on the
click,
wall.
You kind of get it. You click and refresh on your computer, and it's got it all done for you. But I don't like to do things that way.
Well, you know, we got to. So Eddie Olchuk's going through customs. Which one? Canadian customs? I guess so. He's coming into Winnipeg, right? Okay.
No, you know what? Because they're holding him at the border there because they felt he was overpaid when he was in Winnipeg, so they wanted him to pay back some things there.
Well, we will find out if have they taken him to a special room or anything like that?
From robbery. Remember Eddie when he pleaded there with the fans when they were leaving Winnipeg? Eddie was really vocal when the Jets were leaving town and everything like that. It really was touching for me. It touched my heart.
Well, but you and him went there in the same trade, and you have very different memories of your time in Winnipeg.
Well, yeah, because he got ice time and I didn't. Okay, so there you go.
So you always say that it's like it didn't exist for you.
No, not at all. Not at all. It was a great time there. The people were tremendous. You know, the Queen, you know, we kept on looking at the Queen all the time after getting scored on. It wasn't a very good visual per se. But again, many, many fond memories because I remember on trade deadline, being in Winnipeg and being told I was getting traded back to Toronto. So fond memories of Winnipeg.
Well, it's anyway, we'll get Eddie O in a sec. Obviously, he'll wax a little more poetic than Ozzie's great memories of the Winnipeg Jets. But the picture of the Queen, she had the brightest smile going, that old picture they had in Winnipeg Arena. We're talking earlier. We'll chat a little bit more about a great initiative with a young man from the Make-A-Wish Foundation this morning, Garrett Gamble. And he came in from Duck Lake, Saskatchewan, 11 years old, and has a rare disease and diehard Leaf fan. And, you know, I got to give the organization a lot of credit. The players were great with him. His day's not over. He's going to be, as I mentioned, involved in the opening ceremony, a few other things. But Peter Horacek was fabulous. Peter Horacek's a quality guy. I know him from being, when you were playing NHL, he was with the Thunder Bay Senators of the Colonial Hockey League way back when. And so certainly with a not great time going professionally for the Toronto Maple Leafs, they did something huge today for one young man and his family.
Yeah, you know what? And I saw Wendell last night. We had a game at the old Maple Leaf Gardens, the Mattamy Center, where it was Hockey for Heroes. And that's part of the post stuff of our military that I don't think you really understand or realize the branch of the military when these guys are done with serving and they go through all sorts of post-traumatic stress and all sorts of things. But Wendell was there, and I think he'll be on the ice tonight with this young man and, of course, the Saskatchewan connection.
That's
so,
right.
So, it's going to be a lot of fun, and it was nice to meet Garrett this morning as well.
We were talking about the other game. They had, I forget her name now, but a 93-year-old woman that came to her first Leaf game. She'd been a diehard fan forever, and she came to the game against the Minnesota Wild. So all kinds of those initiatives that are going on, and hopefully we'll connect with Eddie O in a few minutes' time. But again, looking at tonight's game, Florida Panthers, Montreal Canadiens, we touched on that a little bit earlier. Boy, impressive, impressive Florida team. Missing Nick Bjugstad in a big way right now, but it shows like Dale Tallon was pacing the other night as the his team couldn't score in the first period against the Leafs. Then they get the goals, break the ice. And then you could also hear the jubilation as they watched the scoreboard and couldn't believe the Anaheim Ducks tied it up against the Boston Bruins in the final seconds of that game. So the Bruins went from 2 points to 1 point, although they picked up two earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, you know what? And for Florida, of course, when you just did mention the Boston win. And so Florida coming into tonight was sitting 3 points behind both the Ottawa Senators and the Boston Bruins. Well, now they're five, and it's really tough to even, you know, get 3 or 4 points, make those kind of points up when your games are running out. And so scoreboard watching certainly will be going on for the Florida Panthers. But one thing I think we can say unequivocally is that both Gerard Gallant and his coaching staff have done a real good job there. And, of course, Dale Tallon, it's going to come together there eventually with some of those young players, Barkov being the first star the other night in Toronto. And yet you just see how challenging it is to put together an 82-game stretch, right? And how tight it is. I mean, you look at the Western Conference, Gord, and what is it going to take as far as points-wise to solidify your position? You're almost knocking on the 100-point door at the end of the night.
And, you know, last night the Chicago Blackhawks lost to Columbus. Mm-hmm. They've been playing well of late, the Chicago Blackhawks. But, you know, they're getting close to that little area there where if all the teams make a push there, it is unbelievable. So you're probably saying 100 points to get in, right?
And yeah, 100 points to get in. And you know what? The way things are so tight, like, is there a team that you unequivocally can say, you know, they're doing well down the stretch, or you're concerned down the stretch, and simply when the playoffs do begin, it is a new season, but do you need momentum? Like, I don't sometimes know what the fine balance of that is as you enter the playoffs.
Well, I go back to answer your question. No, I don't think so anyway. I know it sounds good, but it seems like there's such a gap between the end of the regular season, then you start the playoffs, and it becomes that animal where you're just playing one team. So it's a whole different. And I look at how the Leafs handled the Ottawa Senators just years ago. Mm-hmm. That one time the Ottawa Senators were a far better team point-wise and handled the Leafs in the regular season. And then Shane Corson, who was down at Air Canada Center this morning, he was on the ice this afternoon with some promotional thing going on. But, I mean, he shadowed Alexi Yashin. And the Leafs eliminated the Ottawa Senators in four games. It just became a different animal in the playoffs.
Well, you know what? You do take those two or three or four days off. Once the season is done, you get a couple of days off, and then you start preparing. And that's what I miss about the Stanley Cup playoffs is you love the in-depth preparation that your coaches take the team through when you're, you know, going up against that particular team. You know everything about each and every player, the tendencies, the breakdowns, you're watching video, and then you just go and do, and you figure out how or what it's going to take to beat that particular team. You mentioned Corson on Yash, and it was the same thing going back. And I hate to date ourselves all the time, but that was my real first memory in the playoffs of how we really prepared to face the Red Wings. And I know we'll have Cliff Fletcher on, you know, back in 93, but we went up to Blue Mountain before going into Detroit, and those meetings were long, but they were very, very effective. And you know, all these years later, to look back and say that was a part of, I think, giving us enough self-confidence to beat the Red Wings.
Oh, 2 years ago, how about taking on the Boston Bruins and being at MasterCard Center for the practices before? I mean, just all the hype and excitement. And you think about it, there was the one day when Phil Kessel ducked the media, and Dave Nonis made a point of saying, no, he'll have to respond to the media, or I guess they don't bug him anymore about it. He just seems to do it on a regular basis. But he got that whole controversy, whether it was real or imagined, about his lack of success against his old Boston Bruin team. I mean, he put that in the rearview mirror. I mean, he was a guy that, as the team had an impressive series, he, Jake Gardner, Matt Fratton. I mean, there were guys that, it's funny, some that are still with them, some that aren't, but really came up big in that series.
It does, and it seems so long ago now. And that was going to be part of the growth and the learning curve for this organization, and something that you could springboard moving forward. And you go back, and every team, you know, and we can go through the standings in both the East and the West, how you sometimes have to go through adversity, just get into the playoffs, learn what it's like even to fall short. But then that's a springboard for years to follow, and that certainly hasn't been the case here in Leaf Nation.
Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne. So do you think Eddie O's through customs or not? Do you want to juggle him? Okay, whatever. We'll try.
He's going to dish us because I had a lot of stuff on him today. I'm going back to New York tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, of course, Eddie O was there when the Rangers won the Cup in 94. And, you know, he was sharp-dressed guy. He loved his vittles, you know. And Spoggle's was his favorite restaurant in Los Angeles, by the way. You know, he just tried to be real trendy.
Ahead of
everybody's curve.
Well, back then as well, he got, what'd the Rangers call him, the best team guy? Like, he wasn't playing.
The seventh man award he was named. And Mark Messier had a lot of say in that. And imagine that, and certainly, you know, Messier's credentials of being such a great, great leader. But the value that they put on Eddie as just being he became a cheerleader for that team. And, you know, lo and behold, even Mess's influence could not get Eddie to play in, you know, the final Stanley Cup games against the Vancouver Canucks.
And one of the things, well, of course, Kipper got in. Nick Kiprios, yep, of all things, got in that game number 7. And, you know, one thing I did want to chat with Eddie about, but I want to bring it up.
But you're not going to have an opportunity, maybe.
I don't know. But I did find it. We discussed it. I got to say that the Leaf game against the Florida Panthers the other night, you know, the crowds are different. They're just different. It's a different animal now.
You've been big on that for like months now. You keep on giving us this feel and the general pulse of what's going on there. And you're texting your son, like, what's it like in the building? Like, what's the reaction there?
That's right. I'm curious because I want to pass it on to our listeners when I'm not there. But okay. I just mean like you're out of the playoffs. So it's in a lot of ways, diehard Leaf fans that are coming there, they're really not going to get down on them so much and haven't. And then also, there were a couple of moments last game. First of all, Sam Carrick getting his first ever NHL goal. Great ovation, which I'm glad. He should get it. I was glad they did that. But the other one, and I think I said that to you, I found it weird when Roberto Luongo made a nice save, and it was a nice offensive play by the Maple Leafs. There was kind of a delay, and then the Lou chance started for Roberto Luongo. And I'm thinking, are they giving it to the Leafs? Like, is that kind of a
I think that was
derisive?
Part of it. I think that was a little bit of a sarcastic thing. Come on,
so.
Gord.
I don't think
yes,
so.
It was.
No,
yes,
no.
It was.
I think it was. No, I think it was like Chris Johnson said, that it was a fact that this is a guy, Roberto Luongo, nowadays that's connected with the average fan.
Oh, okay.
Through using social media, okay. You know, and all the other things, and the Team Canada connection, I really think. I just think people look at it a little bit different.
What about when Sidney Crosby comes into town? Do you think they're applauding and cheering him for getting that goal in Vancouver all these years later?
I more mean the social media.
Okay, media. Okay,
yeah.
Let me get
so younger guys there.
Catch up to speed on
well,
that.
Well, because they connect with him. He's got one of the more creative sites out there. He's a guy that's funny, engaging, entertaining. And I know, like, hey, Justin, who's 11, and his friends, when they look at things, they think it's neat that certain guys, if they have good things on Twitter. And I actually think that as much as we talk the Toronto Maple Leaf players for starters about having some personality and other things and try to embrace and engage the fans, it's without asking them to step outside for a fight on Twitter, but more. And I really thought it was a good moment. I thought I gave Luongo credits for that. Eddie O cleared customs. Eddie Olchuk joining us. Gord Stelic, Mark Ott. We were worried for a sec. Eddie O, everything okay?
I think they must have forgot that spent almost 6.5 years here in the Peg, but that's okay. They're doing their job and safely through, and I'm glad I can visit with you. Oz, remember when we got that call?
Oh yes,
remember we got that call. We got traded to the Peg from
Floyd.
From
Floyd
Toronto,
Smith. Floyd Smith, Gordy's protege. Remember?
Yeah, I was. You were at home getting ready to play a game against the Leafs or against the Hawks. I'm sorry, we were with the Leafs.
Yep.
And I was at Scarborough Hospital.
Oh, that's right.
And
exactly.
Diana was in the middle of delivery, and one of the nurses came in and said that, and I don't know, you know, nobody had a cell phone. At least I didn't have a cell phone back in 1990, November 10th. And I went over to the nurse's station, and Bob Stelic was on the other line, Gord. And he says, Eddie, how's Diana doing? I said, good, Bob. I said, but I'll just tell everybody I'll be at the game. They said, well, call us before you come. I said, I'm not going to do that. I mean, she's like on a scale of 1 to 10, she's like a 6 right now. And, you know, so I'll be at the game. And he goes, well, hold on a second. And then Floyd jumped on and said, Eddie, we hate to do this to you, but we just traded you to the Winnipeg Jets. And I was like, oh. So I called Ozzie right away from the nurse's station. I called my dad, called Ricky Curran, who was my agent at the time. I must have been gone from my wife for 15 minutes. I walked in the delivery room, and she looked at me and said, where in the hell you been? And I just was like, how do I tell her this while she's on her back and getting ready to give birth? And I said, my aunt is sick. And she goes, she looked at me, and she goes, where are we going? And I was like, guess. I said, guess. She looked at me and she said, Winnipeg. And I just shook my head just up and down like 2 or 3 times. She closed up like within about 6 seconds. Tommy Olchek wasn't born for another 4 hours.
Well, okay, with all the, never
great
tell.
Great visuals there, Eddie.
When your wife's about to deliver, don't say you got transferred to Winnipeg is Eddie's tip for today, right?
You know what? That's the reality of it. But remember back in the day, remember, guys? I mean, you couldn't get a hold of anybody.
No.
Like if they were on a holidays, they go on a cruise or whatever, guys would pick up like the USA Today or a national newspaper and go, hey, I got traded over the weekend, right? That's the way it is. But good to be with you guys. Always good to be in Winnipeg. It's a great place, and I'm hoping that they can find a way to stay in the playoffs and make the playoffs, because I think the city would certainly be pretty jacked up for it, and proud to say that I played in the last playoff game here back in 96.
Yeah, you know, I'm still trying to track down Peter DeBoer to tell him he got traded to Vancouver. I never got him in that one deal way back when, but we've talked about it ever since then. But I was just chatting earlier. Weigh in on this. I'm giving, as we stalled while you were getting whatever and coming through customs, yeah. I was saying about Roberto Luongo, that the Leaf fans the other night started the Lou chant when he made a save. And at first I thought, are they mocking the Leafs in that? And I really don't think they were. I think he's found a way to connect with people on social media. I think where, you know, there used to be certain villains nowadays that people appreciate, younger fans in particular, having a connection with a guy like with Roberto Luongo, even if they're on one, even if they support one of the 29 other teams.
Yeah, I think you can be a fan of, I think you can be a fan of a player or, whether or not they're playing for your favorite team or not. And again, I don't know the particulars of the situation, but, you know, you're hearing a lot of stuff, what's gone, a lot of talk has seen Gord and Oz over the last little while of, you know, the Buffalo fans cheering for the opponent and when they score or whatever, instead of cheering for their team because they know what's at stake and what's down the road. And, you know, look, I mean, you know, you're right. I think that's a great point, Gord. I mean, nowadays it's a lot easier now to get to know players that choose, or media people or whomever, entertainers that choose to have themselves out there like that and get a chance to know them. And look, it's not hard to know Roberto Luongo because of the success he's had and representing Canada and winning a gold medal and all those things. But, you know, I mean, I think that's fair, but I think anybody that's a fan, you know, of their team certainly wants to see them do well, regardless of the state that they might be in a positive or in a tough situation or a negative state.
Yeah, Eddie, you know, I think we're all in a general consensus that we'd love to see Winnipeg in that Western Conference grab that wild card position. But just going to one of the teams, and they happen to win this afternoon, San Jose.
Yeah.
San Jose won, but I know you played with Doug Wilson, and we've talked about San Jose before. I mean, 8 points to make up in the last seven games is not going to happen. Like San Jose is going to be, you know, out and done for the first time, I believe, in 11 seasons. And so with that organization moving forward, what do you think's going to happen? Like, you know, Todd McClellan's a great coach. Doug Wilson and his comments about Joe Thornton. Do you think at all that there's the possibility that eventually Doug Wilson, perhaps this year, loses his job?
Well, I think all bets are off. I mean, you've got a new owner in there. Everybody's term expires at some point, and I think everybody's on a hot seat. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, you have new ownership. You have a team that loses like they did last year to the LA Kings when they had them on the ropes and they let them off. And if you come back, and, you know, I would agree with the odds, I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult. And we talked about San Jose 25 games ago, and I mentioned to you guys that, like, to me, and I lived it in Pittsburgh when I was coaching, is, look, when the schedule comes out or you get the rough draft, you know, you're sitting there going, how do we play 16 of our first 21 on the road to start the season, and then we play 10 of our last 13 on the road to end the season? Now, they won a couple of games here. I understand that, but I mean, like, that just should not be allowed, and that shouldn't happen. But in saying that, to me, I don't think there's any doubt that everybody is on notice if they do indeed don't make the playoffs. And they've underachieved. They've been close, but you look at what happened last year, and then, you know, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I'd be shocked if something pretty significant doesn't happen in San Jose.
Well, we have to make it a quick visit today. We'll make it longer next week. We'll have Easter with Eddie O. How about that?
Sounds good, boy.
Okay.
Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Eddie Olczyk joining us. We'll come back with more Hockey Nation with Gord Stelnick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and The Fan Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Your dinner dates are here. And they're hungry. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne. This is Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to hour number two, Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, also known as your dinner dates here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Fan Radio Network. Of course, we cover all that's going on around the National Hockey League. A lot of action this afternoon. We'll revisit those games a lot tonight, including the Ottawa Senators taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. But the Los Angeles Kings have been quite a story in many ways, seemingly on the verge of being out of it and then coming back. I shouldn't say when you least expect it, Ozzy, but on the road trip, three straight wins, and they are where you expected them to be.
Well, certainly are, Gord, and I don't know. We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, we've heard from Mike Fiuto over the course of the year talking about the maturity of this team, and these guys push each other when things are on the line. They rise to the occasion, and so it's going to be a great game this evening as they visit Minnesota. So that would, I would say, would be the signature game of the evening, and I'm looking forward to seeing that game and keeping close tabs.
Mike Fiuto, the director of hockey operations for the Los Angeles Kings, joining us. You know, it's played a lot of hockey. Let's face it, nobody's played more hockey than the LA Kings the last few years. And when you look at it, we're, you know, this debate about, is it good to go in the playoffs with momentum at the end of the year, or does it really matter that much when that first round starts?
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Mike.
Tough question for you there.
Ozzy was concerned.
Hit me off with a tough question.
Well, there we go.
It's hard to say. I mean, last year, I mean, we started the playoffs off at 1-3. So it's, I mean, you want to be, I guess the best question, way to answer, I guess you want to be healthy. I think you want to try, you know, be the best possible healthy. I think ideally for anybody, you'd like to possibly, you know, be able to rest, but that's certainly not the case we're in, and it never has been. So I think ideally we would like to say, you know, you're tested and you're game worn because you've had to play playoff games leading up to it. That being said, you know, we've got plenty of work left to be done, and none of these teams, I mean, we went on an 8-0 run, I mean, just to get ourselves back into it, and the battle continues. We've accomplished nothing. I think everybody's got between 7 and 8 games left. Everybody's playing each other, and, you know, we've been a poor road team all year long, and then going away with our seasons on the line have put together a decent road trip so far. So hopefully, I agree, I think this Minnesota team is for real, and they've been outstanding, and, you know, they handled Calgary last night. Hopefully we can come out strong as we have on this road trip so far and maybe take advantage of the fact they played last night, but it'll be a battle.
Hey, Fuchs, I know there was a lot of talk certainly going into the trade deadline and what teams needed and how you load up and all sorts of things. And, of course, for you guys in the back end, I know you were looking for somebody in particular with some of the injuries and the stuff with Voinov. Just out of curiosity, how Andre Sekera has fared in a L.A. King uniform. Has it been seamless for him? Is he a good fit? Just a little bit of an update on him.
Yeah, he's been great, Oz. I think it was tough early. I think being thrown from a situation, I mean, Carolina had run into a lot of injuries, and they've been out of it for quite a while. And I think to be thrust into, you know, do or die situations. Andre hasn't played in a lot of those games, playoff games in an NHL. He's played a lot of international games at high level and stuff, but, you know, being thrown in, being asked to play his offside and play a lot of minutes, it was tough. And he's adjusted well, and he's been exceptional over the last little bit. He's gotten better each game. He doesn't make a lot of, you know, glaring. He's very safe and tidy with the puck. There's not a lot of flash and dash, but he's very patient, poised, and more often than not, he makes the right decision with the puck. And, I mean, he scored some big goals. He made the big play in the island the other night to hit Kopi with the kind of slap pass late in the game to give us the thing. And, I mean, there's no question about his character, but I think he's starting to see now an opportunity to be a part of a good playoff run here and hopefully successful in getting us in and be a part of his first real, you know, high-test playoff. So he's been real good, Oz.
A name always out there because it's an intriguing name, Mike Richards, about the future, whether it's in Los Angeles or somewhere else. And I'm not sure if he's back down now, but he came up, I know. And I'm just, you know, it's an interesting challenge for everybody in a situation like that. How is that situation playing out right now?
Well, he's just working. I mean, it's not a, it's not an ideal part time of the year to be, being asked to, be in a little bit better shape. But there's something about Mike Richards in big games this time of year. And I think with Jarrett Stoll going down to an injury, it opened up an opportunity where, Daryl was really comfortable bringing back the veteran, presence and getting a little bit of that, mystique down the middle. And hopefully that hunger was going to be there to push us, towards the playoff spot. And the door opened up for Mike, and he's come in. And I mean, he's playing limited minutes, but he's playing hard minutes. He's been very solid defensively. And with Stoley out, and Stoley's, close to coming back, as is, Tanner Pearson still on the clock here is with his injury. But it'd be nice to continue on our role here, and maybe Daryl have some more options with some healthy bodies coming back. But Mike's a warrior. This hasn't been easy on anybody. I mean, there's a lot of players that kind of earn reputations, and you kind of wonder if they ever deserve them. There's no question that every accolade thrown at him about being a champion and a warrior is true. It's just he's got to be better for us, and he knows it, and he's getting the opportunity to now.
Fuchs, I know part of your job is evaluating talent for the upcoming draft, and you're in Omaha, and I'm kind of curious as to whether you like the right-hander, the guy who throws a knuckleball like Nebraska of all places, no cover in the USHL. But anyways, we're going to move past all of that. Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, there's the Hanifin kid, Dylan Strome, who ended up without Connor McDavid, had 6 points to take the OHL scoring lead the other day. And a lot of Leaf fans, of course, are talking about this draft and the rebuild and all that kind of stuff. I just want to ask you this specific question. When there are players who are, their season is done, they're not postseason-wise. I know it's the complete body of work, but how can you not further evaluate players that are in the postseason? And in particular, can their stock rise? Does it stay the same? Does it drop? Just maybe a generalized statement in regards to this upcoming draft.
Well, I think for the most part, and I appreciate the baseball analogy, I'll take that into consideration when I'm watching the pitchers tonight. But we're looking at kids that, there's a ton of video now. There's so many different things at this stage that you're taking it to another level. You're mixing your live viewings. You're missing. I would assume if you're picking in that neck of the woods, whether you're picking anywhere in the first round, these kids now, I mean, it's not just about the combines anymore. You're doing house visits. You're spending a lot of time when you're making, I know when we were in that area of the draft, with the Doughties, et cetera, we spent so much time with teachers, family. You just know, I guess, no stone. It's still an imperfect science, but you just don't leave any stone unturned to throw yards to make your decisions. And the amount of video that's available, sometimes you draw upon players' A games to have a look at that video, just see what the ideal situation is, what's the best the player can play as opposed to just his ordinary night. And there's just a lot of different things you can still do with a player being out to continue the evaluation process. Sometimes out of sight, out of mind, you forget how good certain guys are if they're out early. The CHL kids that are non-playoff will get added to this under 18 tournament, which we'll all go watch in Zurich to watch them in another environment play. But there's plenty of work to be done, even for the kids that are out early.
Mike Fuda joining us, of course, with the Los Angeles Kings, their director of hockey operations, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And I thought Daryl Sutter's comments were interesting. We touched a little bit about the race that way, that it's more difficult to get in the playoffs than it is to win a Stanley Cup. Now, that's easy to say when you've won a couple of Stanley Cups for sure, but is it getting more difficult, or is it the same thing every year it comes around? We're always shaking our head as we approach April.
Well, Daryl's known to say some pretty interesting things. And I think, having a couple cups over the last few years, what he says is there's a lot of truth to it. I think it's difficult. It's what he continually, he's asked questions about slumps continually. And he always says, you got to make playoffs. You've got to make the playoffs. And that's what, it is a grind. There are so many good teams. There's a lot of parity out there now. And, with some of the injuries that teams have had and some of the adversity, you can take, there were times early, like for example, I know the one thing that he's really beat up a lot lately is how teams are getting into the playoffs based on how much success they have after the real game's over, which means obviously he's not really thrilled with the amount of points that get thrown into shootouts. But there's years that we've had great shootout records. There's years that, like this year, we've absolutely sucked. I think we've maybe got one shootout victory. But those are points along the way that, you know, you go back and say that one could cost us. I remember Drew accidentally scored in her own net against Calgary that led it to an overtime goal by Mark Giordano. And at the time, you're like thinking, ah, we'll get that back. But those points are absolutely huge and critical. So, yes, I don't know if it is tough to win. Like, I don't know if it's a total accurate statement from that standpoint, because these guys, the amount that starts once the playoff starts and playing every second night and the wear and tear on their bodies is certainly a culmination of a grinding regular season, but it's got some currency to it. But I think winning that grind of the Stanley Cup playoffs and last year almost playing the maximum amount that's quite a grind on your body and your mental capacity as well.
Hey, Fuse, when you're on the road, I don't know if you watch any TV, but the latest installment of Hockey Wives, how's the Dustin Brown relationship going with his wife on that particular show? Are you learning anything, any more insights into Dustin as that show continues on?
I am 1,000,000% honest that I have yet to catch an episode of Hockey Wives. Okay. So if this is something I should be downloading, I know that I'm sure that Dustin is... no doubt the brunt of numerous shots and jabs if anybody on the team. We've got a pretty sarcastic crew, as most dressing rooms are, but I have yet to catch an episode. But knowing Dustin's wife, I'm sure there's been some just lovely encounters up till now.
Well, it's good to know Ozzy's spending productive time watching Hockey Wives while I'm scouting all the NHL games going on, so you can see the imbalance on our show as far as it goes. Hey, Mike, always a pleasure. We'll let you get back to scouting, and all the best the playoff run and in the playoffs, okay?
Thanks, gentlemen. Talk to you soon.
Mike Feuda, the director of hockey operations for the Los Angeles Kings, joining us in Hockey Nation. Well, you kind of reckon. I mean, your wife's an actress, well-known actress, Madeline Smith Osborne.
And I took her out of that business.
I know, and you made her a happier person, for sure. But I can remember, but you weren't on that flight the time she was the movie Funny Farm played with Chevy Chase.
I wasn't on that flight. I heard all about it.
I know. You should have heard the guys. It's too bad. Like, you would have... Yeah. It's when you didn't have a choice on flights, and that was the featured movie with Ozzy's wife Madeline as the star, along with Chevy Chase.
I remember as it was yesterday, in the first comment, Chris Katsopoulos had no tact at all.
Oh, really?
He comes back and say, "Hey, Ozzy, guess what movie we saw the flight with the Chaser there?" You know, and he goes, "That could be the worst movie I've ever seen." Oh, wow, great. Isn't that nice? Lovely,
thanks.
Eh? Great to be back on the road with you guys.
Well, anyway, we will get back as far as talking later on. Cliff Fletcher's going to join us, and Bob McGill, Toronto Marlies, a tough one, 2-1 final. They lost today, so that's hurting their playoff hopes, to say the least. So, yeah. Okay, so why don't we do that? We'll break now. We'll see if we can get Dave. I want to find out from Dave Maloney as well. Any update about Tuukka Rask? I mean, that's a mystery. The Boston Bruins beat the New York Rangers 4-2 earlier today. Tuukka Rask left the game. Bob Aceanza, apparently the goaltending coach for the Bruins, came back and was the backup goaltender. We'll come back with more Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Got a busy final segment coming up. Hockey Nation, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Counting down and taking a look at all the National Hockey League action. A lot of games this afternoon, again tonight, including the Ottawa Senators taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll check in with Bob McGill in a few minutes' time about the Toronto Marlies and Toronto Maple Leafs. And Cliff Fletcher, former GM and now a senior advisor with the Toronto Maple Leafs, will join us. But among the action earlier today, a win for the Boston Bruins over the New York Rangers. But still, the New York Rangers, a great season, first place in the Metropolitan Division right now, and 101 points overall, tops in the East. And joining us is their analyst radio for the New York Rangers, Dave Maloney. How you doing, Dave?
I'm good, George. How are you?
I'm good. So sort of sorting everything out in my mind. Want to talk about the New York Rangers, but curious, obviously a big win for Boston. Tuukka Rask, mm-hmm. I mean, it just seems like he left the game for mysterious reasons, didn't return. Did they give any update?
Well, I heard when we were, you know, on our way out that there was a bit of a dehydration issue, according to Julianne, but I didn't hear that verbatim. That would seemed to be kind of a struggle about the only thing I heard there, but it was a little odd. It was right at the start of the second period, and really there had certainly been nothing going on, so and not to return. So obviously from a Boston standpoint, he's a pretty important guy, and here's to hoping that he's fine moving forward.
Well, Dave, let's focus on the team that you actually cover. So we'll go right in your wheelhouse, because I don't really care about Tuukka Rask, to be quite honest.
I think our listeners do, Ozzie, whatever. But, and Dave certainly is more worldly in his views, too. But you go ahead, Ozzie, question.
Let's go to the other end of the ice, and the netminder, who would have been Henrik Lundqvist, his first game since February 2nd, gives up 3 goals in the first period on 14 shots, and obviously Cam Talbot has done a tremendous job, but the Rangers are going to go as far as Henrik Lundqvist, I believe, takes him in the playoffs. So how would you assess his first game back?
Well, he was good. I mean, in the magical mystery tour that is interpreting whether a puck was directed in or not, that was the first one against Mahlucic. And then it was a bit of a bad read by Boyle. I thought Lucic was offered a pretty free entry into the offensive zone in a crucial area, and he fired it home. And then a little bit of a quick decision made by Matt Hunwick, and ended up with stick of Soderberg. And now you're down 3, you know, 12 minutes in. And the saves he had to make over 2 periods were quality saves, Mark. So for his first game back, I certainly don't think there was any cause for concern from a Rangers standpoint with the play of Henrik Lundqvist. He'll need to, he'll get games. He's going to get games down the stretch here, get back into the rhythm. But this is a guy who's won Olympic gold, who's been to a conference final, has been in Stanley Cup finals, has won, you know, the league's best goaltender award, and he's been through an awful lot. So I don't have any qualms about suggesting that Lundqvist is going to be just fine. In his first game out, I thought he was pretty good.
Dave, getting back to the Boston, New York Rangers, Keith Yandle, and certainly I know plus minus isn't everything, but before today's game, he was minus 32 with Phoenix, plus 7 with the New York Rangers. I mean, obviously shows the different caliber teams he's playing with. It's always a lot to expect about fitting in at a trade deadline deal. Martin St. Louis was probably about as good as you could ever expect what happened last year. How's it going with Yandle and the Rangers?
Well, I think there's a couple things, Gord. Listen, it worked out for St. Louis, but he had a very, very rough regular season. And really, if you go back to Game 4, Pittsburgh Rangers, and the Rangers basically get beat soundly and by and large got booed off the ice. And two of the guys that took most of the brunt of it were Marty St. Louis and Rick Nash. So the point is, Marty St. Louis had a tough time adjusting. I don't think Yandle's had a tough time adjusting at all, but he wouldn't be the first guy that was a key player off a team for a long time that got moved at a crucial point in the season, and it took some time. That being said, Yandle, to my liking, has been better defensively than I thought he was. His game defensively, of course, will be with the puck. He's very good looking off people, holding the puck, and making the right play, which really is right in the wheelhouse of a Ranger team that needs to play with possession. So he's been a plus player. He got another helper today. I think he's got 5 points now. His plus-minus also, we talked about goaltending here. His plus-minus this year was on the receiving end of not very good goaltending in Arizona. A little different role here. Not as quite as many minutes, although his minutes have been up since the injury decline. But he's been a pretty good player for this Ranger team.
Davey, one guy who got his got on the score sheet for the Rangers tonight, Ricky Nash, goal number 40. Uh-huh. And look at Rick's numbers in his first full season last year with the Rangers, 26 goals. And so, I mean, he's having an outstanding year. Just a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe just seeing where his game is at compared to where it was before in the last couple of years, maybe an off playoff last year, but Rick Nash is probably playing as good as he's ever has in his career.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, the thing is, today's goal was his first in 9. Mm-hmm. I do think he's ultimately judged on his production. Back a year ago, he got concussed early, and I think he got behind the 8 balls then. I think a lot of us thought he played wonderfully well in the playoffs, couldn't buy one. early in the season, he's scoring, you know, off balance short side wristers from the top of the circle that he couldn't buy last year. And it's kind of dried up for him. The chance start, I think, is.
Okay, we're losing Dave there. We'll see if we get him back, whatever. Yeah, we'll just say goodbye to Dave. Thanks very much for coming on.
Maybe he's in the Holland Tunnel.
He could be in the Holland Tunnel. They came back from Boston and back in New York, landed one of those afternoon games. So get back in plenty of time to enjoy a night on the town or chill and relax and watch all the NHL action that is going on tonight. Sorry, you look like you're going to say something.
No, you know, and he was talking about that first Lucic goal tonight, or this afternoon, excuse me, in Boston. And, yeah, it was kind of an interesting one because they just had an opportunity to see it on NHL.com. And how that was not a kicking motion. And, you know, that was obviously a big start for the Bruins at home against the Rangers. But nonetheless, as mentioned, Lundqvist making his first start since February 2nd, and the Rangers continue to lead the Eastern Conference with 101 points, and, you know, we'll be knocking on the 50-win season under Alain Vigneault. He's done a great job there.
Well, you know, one thing that Dave was talking about, and if you remember last year, Game 4, as he talked about, that series against Pittsburgh, the team got booed off the ice like you can't believe. And that's why when I go back to what happened here, and again, whether you want to call it Salute Gate or whatever, being booed is not uncommon. They got booed off the ice, and Marty St. Louis getting booed, and Rick Nash getting booed, and it goes part and parcel with the territory. They go on, they make it to the final, and a year later, Rick Nash gets his 40th goal this afternoon.
Well, and I guess that's a testament to the character of those particular players, the environment in New York. I mean, let's face it, having played there, that the fans, yeah, they let you know very quickly, because I think at the end of the day, in any environment or workplace, that they just want effort and they'll accept effort. And that's one of the things I think that the Rangers struggled with, at least in that series early. But they're a good, hardworking team nonetheless.
Well, of course, we'll get back to the Toronto Maple Leafs and Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Hockey Nation. Pleased to be joined by a senior advisor to the Toronto Maple Leafs, the former two-time general manager, Cliff Fletcher. How you doing, Clifford?
Very well, thank you, gentlemen.
You know, we're looking at can you compare this to your first season? I mean, going back in 91, 92, it was a, you know, rebuilding job that you had to do. It was a very tough start that year rather than a tough finish as it is this season. I mean, how are things similar and how are things different?
Well, there's no similarity really in that under the cap system today, the flexibility to go out and make major changes just isn't there. That was, what turned our team around in that year. Our record the first half of the season was 10-25-5, 15 games under 500. And that's when we were able to make the trade that brought Doug Gilmore and Jamie McCown and Rick Natras to Toronto that changed our fortunes almost immediately. But, that was the type of trade where we took on a substantial amount of additional salary because we also have Rick Walmsley joined us. And trades like that just can't be made today. Basically, with the overwhelming majority of the teams so close to the cap, it's you're in essence trading dollar for dollar. So it's a much, unfortunately, if you dig a hole like we appear to have the last half of this year, it's going to be really challenging for our management group to get us out of it and get us headed in the right direction.
Cliff, out of curiosity, and I know your career goes all the way back to when you first became part of the Montreal Canadian organization, as far back as the late 50s and early 60s, and we're talking about Maurice Richard and the likes and being part of iconic franchises and the building process, and you know, the Leafs are now going into this particular draft, and the Edmonton Oilers have had high-end guys at the forward position. And is there any rhyme or reason as to a way in which you go about a rebuild? Because I know you need all sorts of parts, but Do you start from the net, the back end out, or does it really matter when you look forward and move ahead?
Well, I think the Oilers have confirmed that, you know, the process of rebuilding is far more challenging than selecting first 3 years in a row, which they did, and picked up three very good young hockey players. But the challenge then is, number one, obviously, goaltending is it's the most important position on the team, and that's where you have to do whatever you can to acquire the best puck stopper available. And then after that, when you have great young hockey players like they had and Nugent Hopkins and Eberle and Hall, you need to surround them with real solid veteran leadership that can get them through their early years as NHL players with all the pressure put on them that they're supposed to be the saviors. So it's all encompassing. Not only do you have to pick the right player in the draft or draft in the year you hope where there's a player that could make a big difference be available, you have to go out and surround those young players with the type of veterans that can enhance and develop more expeditiously their career and have the team play in a winning environment or close to a winning environment.
Cliff, it's a question anybody and everybody anywhere closely associated with the Leafs or covering the Leafs asks all the time, and you've seen everything. Have you ever seen quite something like this? And what do you look at that happened this year going from the penthouse to the outhouse in such fashion?
Well, I mean, obviously, I've never seen a team just totally collapse, or I've never been involved with one as we did the second half of the year this year. And you know, there's a lot of theories as to why, and that's going to be the challenge of our management team to sort it all out when the season ends and to move forward in a positive fashion. I think, though, where I feel confident is that, you know, Brendan Shanahan and Dave Nonis have put together a real good management team and Kyle Dubas and Mark Hunter and Brandon Pridham, and they each of those three have expertise different from each other's, and as a group they interact well, and the challenge for them will be to sort this all out when the season ends. My only advice as an old codger to them would be, you know, when the season ends a week Saturday or 2 weeks today, I mean, I would take it slow. I would have a period of about 3 to 4 weeks, a good 4 weeks, where you just let the dust settle before starting to get to work, because, you know, from the time the season ends to the draft, you have over 2.5 months and even longer to free agency. So let the dust settle, put a plan in place, and get to work, and let's get the Leafs back to where we all want them.
Cliff, final question for me, and just going back to this week on Monday, the Leafs faced the Minnesota Wild, and of course, Chuck, your son, is the general manager for the Wild. Your general thoughts as dad, as you watch, you know, a team in the Western Conference competing for that playoff spot once again. They host the LA Kings tonight. Any words of wisdom that you've been able to pass on to Chuck over the years? And I'm sure you're proud of the job and where that team sits right now. And certainly Devin Dubnyk's been a huge part of that.
Well, obviously, I'm proud of the job he's doing. And he's had a very good hockey career to date, working under real solid hockey people in Brian Murray and Bob Clark, particularly, and Ray Sherrill. And you know, I don't mind if he wins 80 games a year as long as he loses the other two to the Maple Leafs.
Well, it was great seeing him in town just earlier this week, and we'll see the Leafs taking on, of course, the Ottawa Senators. And as you mentioned, Cliff, obviously the big work and the big intrigue will be in the offseason, and looking forward to seeing what you and the other part of the group do as well as we move forward. Appreciate you joining us, and thanks very much. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Okay, take care. Bye.
Cliff Fletcher, senior advisor with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it's interesting. He said he hasn't seen a situation quite like this, and that's a lot of years. And I know the cap situation makes it quite different, so you can't make the trade that he was talking about. But, you know, there are other ways you can look at there are other ways that you can look at it and try to retool and get it going.
Oh, yeah, and that's going to be the biggest challenge because, yeah, I mean, you look at all the organizations and, you know, case in point for tonight, the Ottawa Senators come in tonight and they're knocking on the playoff door, right, Gord? And you look and you say, how many guys on that roster are draft picks that are part of the Ottawa Senators? I heard this morning as many as 16 guys are part of that. You look at Minnesota, who came into town earlier, and you know that Parise and Suter were the most premium acquisitions of Chuck Fletcher's tenure there as a Minnesota Wild general manager. Devin Dubnyk, I mean, without those three guys, Minnesota is not even anywhere close, and yet it's all part of the rebuild for Toronto and what direction they take.
Well, Bob McGill, of course, covering the Leafs, the Marlies, and the National Hockey League extensively for Leafs TV, now joining us on Hockey Nation. And Bob, we do want to talk about, I mean, a disappointing Marley game this afternoon. But first, as we chatted with Cliff Fletcher a little bit, you know, we know the cap era's made it different than it was when Cliff came and took over the Maple Leafs back in 1991. But, you know, I'm curious, as you see, what are your priorities in the offseason if you're talking about moving people or instilling leadership or whatever it may be? Like, what do you really have to get to for this Leaf team first?
Well, hey guys. Anyway, I think, you know, it's one of those situations where I think you're going to see some housekeeping probably take place first, and I would imagine we're going to see some shuffling of, you know, the different positions within the organization, I believe. But, you know, the draft is first priority, I would think. And at the draft, can they maybe rid themselves of a contract or two that moving forward, you know, will inhibit them as far as the, you know, the salary cap situation is concerned. And, you know, then obviously in the off season, you know, are you going to, what are you going to do as far as signing your restricted free agents in a Nazem Kadri and a Jonathan Bernier? So, you know, there's lots of stuff, you know, to look at. And the overall picture is obviously a lot different from a lot of clubs. So I would think that Brendan Shanahan and his group got a lot of work ahead of them here this summer to try and, you know, start the process of righting the ship here. And, you know, gosh, there's so many different areas that I think needs to be addressed, and it'll be interesting to see which direction they go in starting first.
Big Daddy, I know you were covering the Marlies this afternoon. A third period goals on the power play by Hamilton propelled them to the victory over the Marlies, so a big loss for the Marlies. But just out of curiosity, as the Maple Leafs do look ahead and you talk about some of the guys or some of the cookies in the cupboard, per se, down on the farm. They'll get a good draft pick this year. There's Freddie Gauthier, who's playing in Rimouski. He'll be part of the playoffs there. You know, Stuart Percy. But out of curiosity, William Nylander, who came over just a little while ago over from Sweden, first-round pick last year for the Maple Leafs. Curious as to what your assessment has been of him, his development, his give a rip meter, any of those types of things that you can give us on William Nylander as Leaf fans look forward to this high-end talent that they have?
Well, you know what, I think first and foremost, dramatic improvement in his play from game one to game one. I think he's played about 25 games now in the American Hockey League. And, you know, he had 8 points in 9 games coming into today's action at the RICO. And I really think that he's grown. And you put him in an environment where you've got, you know, veteran guys like a Troy Bodie, you know, Brendan Mickelson, Kevin Marshall, the old sort of war horses that have been through the battles and the way that they conduct themselves. And, you know, I think the coaching staff has done a real good job of, you know, sitting him down and saying, this is the way we do things. When you lose pucks, you stop and start. You don't circle and take the big, you know, his first couple of games, it was like, oh, wow. You're like, whoa, that's not what you should be doing and whatnot. And his compete level has gotten better and better all the time. And, you know, he's been playing with Matt Fratton and Byron Fraze
as of late, and that line has been pretty good for them. And I look at him and think, boy, you know what, from the improvement that I've seen over the course of the last 2 months in the American Hockey League, if that's a sign of the way he's going to continue to develop, you know, I'm very pleased with what I've seen from young William Nylander.
You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs side, I mean, it should be a big story. Nazem Kadri back, his first game back after a four-game suspension. But, I mean, everything's just different now with where they are in the standings. But you were a 19-year-old breaking in the NHL as a very young guy. And I'm curious, assessing what you expect from Naz in these games and in general, of whether it's a maturing process or how you think he's handling it and will handle it.
Well, it's interesting, Gordy. You know, it's something where when you look at, you know, him sitting out, you know, seven games of the last, what, nine is it, I believe?
Yeah.
And, you know, the three-game suspension by the hockey club and then, you know, the four-game one that he's got, you know, from his check from in the Edmonton game. But I think when you look at the big picture, you hope that over the course of those, you know, games with him sitting out and having a chance to sit and watch, you can learn some things. And maybe, you know, I think the harsh reality of, you know, what transpired, especially starting with the three-game banishment by the hockey club, is this going to be that wake-up call or that sort of, you know, bloodshed moment in Nazem's career where he's going to really realize that, hey, if I'm going to be the kind of player, I'm a seventh overall pick, you know, I want to be part of the solution to this club as it moves forward. I would expect that he's going to have some urgency in his game over these last seven hockey games. And let's hope that's the case because, you know, he's a kid that's going to be a restricted free agent. And, you know, it's something where I believe, like, he's made it certainly sound like that he wants to continue to stay and play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that's the case. You know, we're going to hopefully show that he's going to lead the way by competing and, you know, doing everything in his power to help the team try and win a few of these games down the stretch here and maybe be the spoiler. You know, you look at tonight's game, nothing better than, you know, the Sens now 2 points back of the Bruins coming into this one. It's a big game for Ottawa, and who's going to step to the forefront for the Maple Leafs? Hopefully Nazem Kadri is one of those guys that can be the catalyst.
Well, I'll say this to the both of you guys. I'll believe it when I see it. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I want to ask you.
Optimist, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. I got to bring this, bring a little levity to this conversation with you and Gord here, you know, which often does occur. Curious as to, again, a little bit of a newsworthy item from yesterday between you were at the practice between David Booth and Phil Kessel. I have to ask you because, it's not a big deal. You know, we were part of a team and you weren't there when John Kordick pounded Alan Bestert at a restaurant, but there's some health to what happens, and I'm surprised that this has not happened yet on this particular team. They talk about we're such a great group, we love each other, great chemistry, yeah, and everything like that. But I guess I was finally relieved to hear that something actually a bit of emotion has transpired between, yeah, some players.
Oh, absolutely, Mark, and you know it's something where, you know, I played on lots of teams where there was fights at practice. And, you know, I talked about one this morning where Dave Manson and Ed Belfour smashed their sticks on each other and dropped their gloves and whatever. And 15 seconds later, the practice is right back at it like nothing happened. And, you know, it's part of the situation of it's an emotional game, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And I can't even imagine the frustrations that Phil Kessel is feeling, you know, with, you know, having scored so few goals in the last couple of months and certainly looking to be in jeopardy of snapping his streak of being that 30-goal guy. And, you know, David Booth, on the other hand, trying to show everybody around, you know, the coaching staff through to the management side that, hey, I want to continue my career in the National Hockey League. And, you know, whether it's in Toronto or not, I'm doing everything in my power to try to continue to get better. And, you know what, you have guys together and something happens. I mean, hey, guys, last time I checked, a fight was when two people took their gloves off and threw some punches. That wasn't the case. It was a simple little bit of a wrestling match and face wash, and that was the end of it. So to me, it was there was nothing to it whatsoever other than a couple guys getting ticked off for a 20 or 30 seconds or so and then right back to practice. And to me, it was like nothing to it.
Well, we'll see what tonight happens. Leafs, Ottawa Senators, after some, as you mentioned, little fireworks, now 2015 version in the practice for the Maple Leafs. Thanks as always, Bob.
You bet. And hey, the young lad make out in the game today.
You know what? They won 2-1. Norcho, 18 seconds left. Trent scored. So North Toronto beat Vaughan. Just
really?
Got the word.
The Tommies.
Yeah.
The Tommies
That's
continue
it.
To roll.
That's it. First game of the GTHL final. Appreciate that, Bob. Thank you. Bob McGill joining us. Yeah, I just got the word.
Hey, ever since I decided to give that organization a name, because I've never heard of a North Toronto hockey. They don't even have a nickname, for goodness sakes. I said,
nothing.
Let's make them the Tommies. They've been undefeated.
On fire ever since
there
then.
There you go.
So
congratulations. You had nothing to do with that victory today.
Well,
wow.
They're probably
awesome.
All enjoying that I'm here, not behind the bench. We will be back, of course, Leafs Nation postgame right after the game tonight between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. Want to say thanks to our guests this afternoon. Well, we got about three
great
minutes.
Bevy
with,
Great bevy of guests.
Yeah. of guests. Eddie Olchuk. We've got 3 minutes with him as he went through customs in Winnipeg. Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames. They have a big game against Nashville tomorrow. Mike Fiuta, your buddy. Of course, the director of hockey operations for the once again high-flying Los Angeles Kings. Cliff Fletcher, senior advisor for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And also Bob McGill from Leafs TV joining us. You've been listening to Hockey Nation. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We'll talk to you again after tonight's Toronto Maple Leaf-Ottawa Senators game.